Okay, that's what Kevin, look at him. All stuff I don't. Nancy, you're someplace.
Actually, I mentioned that.
Okay. Alright.
Hey, Tommy.
Hi.
How are you?
Yes, how are you? Everybody.
I'm so. It's a report on the. I can't remember what it's called now. Special need, so nothing.
Therapeutics?
That is. What is JAWS?
JAWS is the wheelchair basketball program.
Oh.
Can't remember what it stands for.
Okay.
Yeah, I cannot remember what it stands for.
A boy junior.
That's gonna kill me.
Halfway through the meeting, it didn't, you remember, just blurt it out.
Just don't call me a two-way, you know. Shall we go ahead then? Alright, let's call the meeting to order. This is the Tucson Park and Recreation Commission meeting for January the 24th of 2024. Some of us are here in the administration's office in the Mesquite Conference Room, and at least one of us is virtual. Welcome. Alright, let's see. Have a call to order. Have you already done the roll call?
No, we can, I can do that.
Okay, please do.
Roll call, okay, Commissioner Steve Ho.
I'm here.
Sorry, sure. Vice Chair Becky Quintero.
Present.
Commissioner Robin McCardle.
Here.
Commissioner Manon Gessi.
Here.
And it looks like about him, PPC.
Alright, very good. Next item is the minutes from the November 29th meeting, which is an action item. Did anybody have any additions or corrections that we don't already know about?
I think most of us accept this.
Thank you. It's been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
And it's been seconded by Robin. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please raise your hand, signifying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed then after that? Alright, thank you very much. Let's go on to item number three, call the audience. Do I have to do this legally because we don't have an audience or?
Wait to speak.
Yes.
Oh, we have a guest. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. Alright. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to 3-minute presentations. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual committee members may ask the matter be placed on future agenda or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. Diana, have you been informed that we have anyone who wishes to speak?
Not previously, but I'll take a quick one here. Already read.
Alright, thank you very much. The next item on the agenda then is item number four, the 2023 annual report. I'm assuming that this is basically just a synopsis of the minutes from each of the meetings. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Didn't see anything too startling in there. Does anybody have anything that needs to be added or?
Motion to accept the report.
Okay. The 2023 annual report has been moved for exception, accepting. Second, and Robin seconded. All right. Any further discussion? Manon, do you have any questions or comments about the 2023 annual report?
No, but I thought Becky did a great job catching that typo.
Okay. Then, unless somebody has something else to say about the annual report, we'll vote on it. I don't see anybody moving. So, all those in favor of approving the annual report, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Okay, I don't see any opposed, so that goes on. All right. So the next item is unauthorized vehicle signage. Whose is that one?
Well, I know that Becky added that item for discussion. So I don't know if you want to start and then we can have a dialogue on it.
Sure. So I actually, you know, when you see the kids in the parks destroying the grass with their little ATVs and things like that, and we go and approach them and say, you know, you're not supposed to be on the grass with these things, and we can do it. It's okay. There's no signs, and it's like nothing to give them. So, you know, it's like I could bounce back and say, you're not allowed, you know, on here and to destroy our bricks, but you don't listen unless, you know, it's written somewhere. So I, you know, I know that you guys have done a great job cabling some of the parts to keep the things off of the grass and destroying the irrigation heads and things like that, but that's what's happening, you know, at some of the parks. But I know Rodeo Rudy Garcia, Park and Shenanigans, I think they're cabling.
Those two locations in particular, we were running into a lot of issues with truck groups, as well as ATV groups that were just going in and ripping up the turf. Unfortunately, it's something that we're experiencing citywide. And where we have the ability to, we try to do the physical barriers, not just cabling, but sometimes folders or, put that outside. I mean, Sierra, is there anything on our rules that our signage now that talks about not driving on grass? I can't remember off the top of my head.
It doesn't say don't drive it in grass. I believe it's going to take me a minute to pull up the email I sent. It's something like park in designated areas only. Designated parking lots only, no motorized vehicles on park grounds, Tucson City Code 21-343.
No, it isn't.
But it's not in the park.
Well, the park rules, they say park in designated parking lots only, and they have a QR to the all the park rules, basically, which includes this one. I'm just going to link the park rules here.
We've updated some of the parks. I don't know if people updated.
Exactly. Not all of them have gotten our park rule signs.
I think James Thomas is probably one of our biggest problems. Where they're crossing over and on the turf. Sarah Miller Park. We just had that 2 weeks ago. So.
And then when it's muddy, it really clears the grass. It won't go bad.
You know, it's frustrating for us as well, especially when they go on the sports fields and they're in active use.
Yeah.
And like, for example, this week would be a terrible week to have them go on because of all the rainfall. The ground is saturated, it's muddy, and then it tears up. So the fact that we have it in our current signage, it's just we would have to look and see if those signs, the newer signs, are in the parks that you mentioned. So let's
those are complete.
No, do they have the new signs?
Well, I don't know, but they have posted cable.
Is it cable then? Is it cable all the way down?
It depends on which park. Like Rudy Garcia is not going to get it, but yes, it's completed.
Oh, it's not getting cabling, just the
it just called the ballers.
At the one park, because of the parade used to go that route, so we didn't put cable there because of tripping, and now the parade changed. But anyway,
that's the next topic, which I'm trying to.
So crossing the rodeo grounds north of the west of the parking lot, crossing the
Okay. But it's interesting, since we've put it up, we've had a couple of car accidents, three that have taken the ballers out.
Wow.
Yeah, so Manon has her hand up, sorry.
Oh, Manon?
Hey, everyone. On the same kind of subject of not tearing up the grass,
I'm wondering how we're differentiating between what kind of wheels are doing the damage. For instance, in Hemel Park, there's a group of mountain bike riders that has gotten extensive, and they ride the same loop one after another, and they're completely tearing up the grass to the point where it's gone up into the air, and people can't breathe who are trying to enjoy the park. They can't walk in the park because they're going to get hit. They don't stop for them. I counted up to 50 mountain bikes in a row going after it one time, maybe more. And I felt like I was in danger, and I've seen it happen multiple times. And clearly they've paid to do this in Hemel Park. So it completely destroys the sod. And in a situation like this week, it would be really detrimental. And I've been wondering what a good time to bring that up would be. So I think this is kind of it.
So I want to go back to what you just said, that they had paid to do, it wasn't an actual event that was being held in the park?
It's a regular event. I forget what day it is. It's in the evening in Hemel Park. And it used to be just a few mountain bikers, kids, following a guy going up and down. Like, there's these places that you can go around, and it's on the southeast corner in that area. And now there's up to 50 to 60 bicycles running this route over and over again for like an hour. It's really intense. And on dry days, the grass flies up in the air, and anybody else trying to use the park who has any kind of breathing problems has to leave.
We can look into it, but I'm not, off the top of my head, I'm not aware of a organized event that occurs there.
Right, me either.
Yes.
I would have just assumed that they organized and okayed this with the park system, given that they are taking over that area of the park. And, you know, by those oleanders, people walk that area all the time in the evening, and they can't when that's going on. It's too dangerous. They have to go a different direction. So it would be worthwhile to look into it, and I'll pay closer attention to what day it's happening on. But I've seen it happen several times.
Sounds like Thanks. A good place. When we find out exactly what it is, sounds like a good place to send the park rangers.
Yeah, I just assumed that they, since they were doing it regularly and it's been going on for a couple of years now, that the park knew, but I guess not.
I'm going to ask Corey. Corey should
chat. We had the chat goodbye too.
So anything with wheels should not be on the grass, basically.
Yeah. And we don't disagree with you. It is something that we even have partnered up with TPD, but TPD encourages us to try to do the landscape architectural solutions, because for them, sometimes they are called by the time they come out.
They're gone. Yeah.
And we're running, I mean, there's a myriad of other, like dogs off leash, it's another issue that we're running into a lot of problems with as well. Been asked to put up signage, but the signage really does not very effective.
Well, there'd be nothing in the code for the bike to park in,
right?
Have a conversation with them about etiquette.
And people just use the tires, and it's so sad. It's like, there used to be a guy in a red car, just for you. Every morning, that two dogs run out of the park and then poop in the park and then pull at them car and then drive off. And it's like, why don't you just pick it up after you do that? But he never did. And he's trying to get close to get his license number. Like, God.
Right.
No. But that's what people do. They're like, why?
So if I understand correctly, what you're going to do is check to see if the updated signs have been put in these particular places.
So I heard Manuel Herrera, but where else are you concerned about it happening?
James Thomas.
James.
So.
Right, anything else along that line? Right, then.
Actually, Steve, it would be great just to get a sign like that somewhere in all parks. Like right after the award ceremony, I took a walk at Hemel Park, and there was a motorcycle roaming all over the park. Really? Yeah, it was a motorcycle. It was more of a dirt bike motorcycle, very loud. And it was everywhere. And I kept wondering, is like, can I say something? Where is the signage to support me? And like Becky said, and there was nothing I could do. And I didn't feel like he had other friends with him. Towards the time I was leaving, someone from the parks came to try to get rid of the guy. And we recognized each other from the lunch. But I'm like, he's over there. But yeah, I mean, it's becoming increasingly problematic, I think, for everyone, because you just don't know what you can say and what you can't say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And we do, so you know, we do advise staff to try and educate as much as they can, and if it's an unsafe situation, then to call TPD, because we do sometimes experience where they run into something that's not safe, and the person should be very aggressive. They're already breaking the rules, right, by doing something in the park that they shouldn't. So we try to help guide them on how to strike the balance between educating. They really can't enforce per se. That's what TPD can do. And sometimes TPD is able to show up quickly. It just depends. Yeah.
What authority do the park rangers have?
The park rangers are basically community safety officers, and they are education first.
Okay.
The citations that they issue are not related to parks. They assist TPD in responding to accidents, minor accidents.
Directing traffic.
So they're not exclusively in parks, the CSOs. Yeah, it's
Have any that are dedicated to parks?
Not currently, no.
No, I thought that was something that we did about 3 or 4 years ago.
I think it's a little further back
now. It was at one point.
Yeah.
And they've been reassigned, so to speak.
Well, I think they have by keeping them filled, positions filled.
Yeah, so I want to say September, October, they were supposed to be graduating a new class of them.
October.
But they have gotten down to the point of almost none.
Wow.
So still working with the chief on how we're going to get things to be better situated. But as it currently was explained, the CSOs that are deployed have certain parks that fall under them and will have a central point of contact call if we need support.
Yeah.
But realistically, the challenge too is that they don't have a lot of enforcement ability, but they do have a direct line to getting an officer out on site if there is a safety issue.
Hmm. Sounds like to me the thing that Manon was talking about is a safety issue if there's 50 bicycles going around someplace.
Yeah. Which we'll look at that, because that could be something that is an organized activity that has grown and that they really should be pulling a permit on. And that can happen sometimes, but it's only once we are lured into that activity can then we then try to do something.
Any further comments or questions about the unauthorized vehicles and signage?
No, I didn't. Thank you.
It's a shame.
Well, it is. I mean, quite an accident in some of the video to TPD, but still, yeah, to try to track them down. But.
And I know Nikki Peterson was telling me that Eamon Gunny, they've caught kids doing stupid things in the parking lot.
I know. Thank you.
He went open 3 weeks, and there was a guy doing donuts. His car got left there because he messed it up so bad.
Keep us posted, Becky.
Okay.
And keep us posted, if you wouldn't mind, keep us posted about anything going on with the CSOs.
Because
I thought for sure we had some that were assigned to particular parks and they were going to go from one park to another, but it sounds like they're only doing a park in an area if they happen to have time.
Essentially, or if there's if we highlight it as starting to have a problem and we need their eyes on it to then know to engage an officer. But I think a lot of it too got morphed you know, from the staff shortages, but also the rise in the issues of homelessness and then staffing units getting reassigned. There's been a lot of evolution from before COVID days to now, and that continues to change. But it's funny, I just had a conversation with my boss not too long ago about the Ranger program, and maybe we should visit again. So.
Yeah, I was not aware of any of that.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go on to item number 7, which is the rodeo parade route.
Yeah, so okay. Diana, can I put a link? It should be the last.
Should I just minimize it?
No, actually, there you go. Click there. And if you go down to the bottom of the page, you have to blow it up. Okay.
Can somebody describe what we're seeing?
So I'm going to try my best. So this really, the Parks Department is really not that involved in. So we do a lot of the staging setup, but the manager's office really has been working closely with the parade committee because there had to be a shift. And the shift was largely based or due to the railroad because they couldn't accommodate an extended closure for the parade. So actually this Sunday, our staff are going to be moving all of the bleachers from the rodeo grounds. I believe it's they're being staged in two locations. One that's kind of in front of El Pueblo, which is on the Irvington. So that's kind of the purple northern. Yeah, there's some bleachers going around there and up on the Irvington side, which is a little north of that, and then also on Drexel.
That little purple thing is, I think it was near Liberty and Drexel.
So we had to work with TP. Sorry, I almost went to Florida company. To get permission because they have some swaths of right of way essentially to stage the bleachers under or on, and they're going to be built. And then their parade committee is coming in to stabilize the bleachers and get them ready for the parade. So, parade largely follows. From the north side, the purple lines, right?
Is that correct?
The parade started here. There's stacking in
that's
there.
That's staging. Yeah.
This is where they stage. It starts here.
There you go.
It comes down here.
Who wrote us that?
That's Drexel.
Oh, that's Drexel. Okay.
And then the hotel is by
right. Okay.
Stopping here.
And there's supposed to be an event at Rudy Garcia going on, but they, Andy from the manager's office hasn't shared a lot of details with me yet.
On the VIP section.
So the idea is start on Sunday. So Becky, since you live within the area, there are going to be some limited road closures on Sunday to allow the move of the bleachers from the parade.
So this coming on Sunday?
Yeah, all day. And I could send you an email with the roads that they were forecasting to be interrupted.
Okay.
And it's really because a lot of our bleachers are like 8-9 feet wide. So to be able to navigate them down the road with traffic would be hard.
I can't make this turn.
Yeah, and make that turn. I think they're actually like extending into that little parking lot area just to get the turn accomplished right.
Well, yeah, and there's a big old pothole near there. So I told city manager, office, you're going to pave it all, right? Make it so they are looking at fixing potholes.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the new route. I hope it's successful this year. The first, I mean, I've heard people complain because they are so used to sitting where they've always sat. But
it's been that way for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, they just couldn't get the railroad to come to
the trains anymore.
No.
Is this, do you know if this route is as long as the old one?
No, it's shorter.
It seems way shorter.
It's way shorter, yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of people.
The property at TEP that's underneath the power lines, I'm sure people are going to start camping overnight in those spots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And there's actually, I don't know if we got permission because Andy was still going back and forth with them. But when we looked, we zoomed in on Google, there's actually a longer swath of vacant land. I'm sure they're going to be, people are going to be in their chairs on them for sure.
They've already started cleaning up the bubble grass and stuff along Jackson.
Yeah, that's what I had heard, is that starting now, they were going to be doing some trimming and vegetation removal to get ready. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, but so the bleachers, how are you protecting them from
That's exactly what we have pointed out, that we feel that there's an element of risk of the bleachers being vandalized or
laid on and then they fall.
The truck groups and racing groups considering that crime.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
That's all the concerns that we've shared, and TPD has been looped in because the bleachers need to stay there because of the rodeo going on. The bleachers need to stay there, I believe, until the first weekend in March.
That's a lot.
We don't really have, because once rodeo moves in, you lose every available inch.
And we can't use the where they're stored now. Is parking.
But if you think about it, historically, they've moved the bleachers on either side of Irvington, and they've been able to stay there during rodeo, right?
Right.
That's not, you know, that's kind of the world that we are still having to live in. If we have to, I don't know, we'd have to get creative. I'm not sure what the back plan would be, but...
There's a lot of semis that park over there. Maybe you can park around the beach or something.
Yeah. In worst case scenario, we could do that.
With what?
The little parking lot that's on Old Nogales Highway for Rudy Garcia. There's a small parking lot there. We could stack them all there.
Right. And also at El Pueblo, too. Close to the Pima College, that parking lot doesn't get used that much either.
Mm-hmm. The pool parking lot.
Yeah, the pool, and it's been a pool parking lot. So, I mean.
Yeah, but no visual there. At least on Nogales, you'd have people driving back and forth, and you can face them next, you know, that way they're not, oh, look, they put bleachers up for us to do donuts. Don't cry.
We're gonna make the best of the situation.
Okay. Anything else on the rodeo parade route preparations? All right, let's go to reports and announcements, starting with Parks Recreation Commissioners. Any of you have anything that you wanna throw in the hopper?
I just want to say thanks to the zoo. I mean, Two Lights was really amazing this year. It was really fun. And there was a ton of people. It was incredibly busy.
Every
day was busy.
Yeah, we know. We've
kind of been like, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
It was, yeah. And even with all the other business events happening, they were still like, super busy. I mean, you have Winter Haven and two from Botanical Gardens, and everybody was like out. Yeah. And it was so cold and wet too. Yeah.
You know.
And it was pretty. Thank you. I mean, that's one of your awesome events. Thank you.
Anybody else? Robin, Manon?
Hey, I just mentioned that I think Lara did a great job with the awards ceremony and the lunch. And while the rest of you weren't there to witness it, but she definitely has creative skills and gift giving. And she created some really great awards. The Screaming Goat being one of them. Is that right? Screaming Goat. That was pretty, it was pretty fun. And you guys did a great job with the presents and everything, because they did a lot of raffles and they did a good job with separating out male, female, and just any kind of gender. And you saw a lot of the guys who won the raffles going and getting the female stuff, so they had something extra to give their wife for Christmas. So I thought that was really clever.
That was fun.
Great.
Thank you. And I'm sorry I missed it again, but COVID hit this time around.
Did you get?
I did. Oh, I did. Okay. Like 3 weeks before Christmas, bam.
Wow.
Yeah, the Christmas dinner. Yeah, so was I. if nobody else has anything, I have one question. Greg, this may be for you, or I'm sure. I'm on the Neighborhood Association board, and there's a lot of concern about students walking from north of Grant down Dodge to Catalina High School, where there are obviously no sidewalks because we don't have sidewalks in the central part of town. But there's also a lot of problems with the erosion and the road deteriorating and the kids kind of being on the edge of the road. And that does that rock does get a lot of traffic across because there's a light at Dodge. The kids from north of Grant use that pretty heavily. So my question is, I thought when Prop 408, was that the name? 407, okay, wrong number anyway. When that was passed, there were some improvements supposed to be going on, bicycle, otherwise, along that route. Who do I talk to find out what is in the plan and what the timetable is?
We can get you Ryan Fagan's point of contact.
Oh, okay.
We'd be up here.
Is that on Wild Dyke Boulevard, or what do they call them?
Yeah, I just didn't know all the specifics.
Ryan and Colin are the two people that are driving 407 from the DTS perspective, so I can email you and them and say he's got a question about what I want. And I'll also give you a link to the Tucson Flippers website. You can see everything on that website.
Yep. Okay.
As far as the trail programs are.
Okay. Just so give me the information and I'll pass it along, because we've had some. Okay. Some citizens approaching us about that. All right.
Oh, can I have, I remembered what it was because you mentioned I got a phone call from the Neighborhood Association in Valley of Rafal who wanted an update on when things are going to start there. But like, it's coming. Just be patient. But I don't know.
There actually is a letter that so it's interesting how many departments can write into one letter through one portal. But anyway, so Liz, my boss, the assistant city manager, has been working on a letter specifically for the Barrio Nepal community. And it's going to include not just the updates on the park and the timeline, like where what have we gotten accomplished in all this time and what the next steps are, but also from transportation, there's some updates that are also included. Interesting enough, the purchase got approved by mayor and council last meeting, wasn't it? So that's moving forward for sure, but you know, just so you know, we're already in permitting.
I can tell you, it's going to go up a bit this week.
Okay.
Or next week at the latest, but it'll go up to bid in January. Bids will be due at the end of February. It'll take us a month to award the contract, so end of March. Usually 30 to 60 days for the contractor to mobilize and get on site. So, but then April, May, construction start, probably May. So getting out the bid is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And once that starts, the process
begins.
It's rolling pretty quickly. Oh.
Anything else, Becky?
No, I was just going to say, I think that letter, the intent is for that letter to be mailed out next week, and that's going to go to the entire neighborhood. So, yeah.
And information's in the newsletter.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Very good. All right. We're to the staff. Who's got a staff report?
I like you. If we go first, we go first.
Oh, go ahead.
So Jaws is
oh,
junior active in wheelchair sports.
Oh, well, junior's active in wheelchair. That's good.
Yeah. So just as an FYI from last, because we didn't meet in December, right?
Right.
So Santa's calling, we had in December, one of our highest yet. We made over 800 calls to kiddos. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And those that didn't get a call got a letter, and so that was really good. We are responsible for decorating the ice rink, and so all of that happened, and then I didn't know if Greg was going to touch on that, but that's all wrapped up and good to go, and so bundled up for next year. And then just as an FYI, so our department is working with the housing for the Tucson House. And the HUD $50 million grant, so it's the People's Choice Grant, and so we're involved in that to, you know, try and provide some insight to programming and those kind of things. But once all of that gets done, we'll filter in and start providing some support services there, which is really nice. All of our winter camps went really well. The kids were out for 2 weeks. It was really weird. They got out of school 3 days before Christmas. It was so weird. And then they went back January 8th, so it was all, everybody was walking. It was, yeah. But everybody survived.
The marriage.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, it was really weird. We're wrapping up Senior Olympics right now, but we've been doing that all month long, and that's been going really, really well. And then we're also having an entrance in the rodeo parade this year. We haven't done that in a couple of years, so.
Donnie, how many registered for Senior Olympics?
You know what? That is a good question. I want to say 1,375.
Oh my gosh.
But
not to be
don't quote me on that. But it's in that general area, yeah.
My husband's
whatever. Good for you.
What are you waiting for?
Well, it's on Saturday. It's shooting sports.
Oh.
Yeah. We bet you could get shootings in the neighborhood. You don't even know.
Yeah, that's all I got. Right here.
I did notice there was a big difference between the number of kids that were contacted and the number of phone calls that were made by Santa Fe. Apparently, there were two or three or four or five kids in a household.
Correct. Yes. Wow. Yeah, so we get 600 or 700 forms. Mm-hmm. But when we call, you know, we're making 800 calls. But we could talk to five kids.
Yeah. It's kind of nutty.
It really is. Like, we probably don't do the best job of keeping accurate numbers of how many kids we talk to.
Oh, sure.
We talked to somebody's best friend that happened to be in the car, and we winged it. We did okay.
It was very interesting. My favorite was the 11-year-old older sister that we could tell was just playing along because the younger siblings were listening, but there was no way Vanessa listened to what Santa was saying.
Okay.
It was fun. It's a fun thing.
Anything else, Donnie?
No, that's it.
Okay, I guess you're on, Greg.
So on the capital side, we have wrapped up two projects since last meeting, the Lincoln Park LED lighting, so I was converting the two soccer fields with LED and the older 10.64 out there and an upgrade. Finished the Stephen Gollum tennis court resurfacing. That they have loved it. They dropped off a nice card signed by about 100 people in Sean's office here today, so they were really excited about that. We've got 8 projects in construction now, plus 6 playgrounds. Iron Force should be wrapping up any day now, looking at a soft opening probably in February and a grand opening in spring. So invite to that. Christopher Columbus, we did a groundbreaking back in November, December, so that now is under construction. Fort Hill Bathhouse splash pad, Freedom Park splash pad, Jesse Owens splash pads are all in the works right now, slate to be done in May or June. Joaquin Murata keeps moving along. Mansfield pool slide is up, getting the pumps connected now, so that'll be ready to go probably in February, but not getting used to May. Two projects coming out there. One's out to bid right now, John F. Kennedy. Those bids are due back next week or the week after. It might just got bumped back a week. And then Margo and Paul going out, so those two projects are going to be construction this spring and this summer. And then we've got 8 projects that are in permitting that we expect to go out to bid here in the next 2 or 3 months. That includes a couple of big projects being Santa Rita Park, Jacobs Park, Mission Manor, Pool, Bathhouse Splash Pad, and Cushing Street Skate Park. And then just kind of a big picture perspective, you know, phase one was 2020 to 2022. We did fall a little behind in that phase, but all of the projects will be under construction this year. So phase one should, except for the golf course improvements. Everything in phase one should be behind us at the end of this year, or at least in construction. Phase two, on the other hand, is 2023 to 2025. We've only got 6 projects left to take into design. We're expecting to start all of those this calendar year. So we're at least on schedule, if not slightly ahead of phase two. And then phase three, we are hoping starts with design of those next year, maybe even later this year, if we get some of these other projects offered late, get a jump start on phase three. So moving along rapidly right now. And we got 15 other projects in some form of design right now. So a lot of moving pieces.
Do you have enough staff?
We have 7 now. So yeah, we are keeping all 7 of them busy. That's why you're seeing things breaking out into construction and design. Once we get some of these 8, well, at the end of 6 playgrounds, we get some of those 14 projects out of done with, then we'll start designing the new ones that we have to start again. So it's an ongoing cycle.
Yeah.
Anything else, Greg?
Yes.
Keep busy. Anything, Mike?
Yeah, a few things, Donnie mentioned the ice rink, we'll let, Parks Maintenance staff help put that up and take it down. Same thing with most all the projects we're doing, but a couple little updates. Poor Little Pond, tomorrow we will be putting in the sealant, which will help seal the lake. It was leaking, and the pond should be opened up this time next week with the fountain and the diffusers back in. The water is going to look like milk or a milkshake for the next week, but it is non-toxic to aquatic animals' life, and the pond should be back open full this time next week. So that's been 8 or 9 months in coming. So, we're working on a bunch of little things. We have the NC Dinos, the Korean baseball team, will be here Monday. And they're here for 6 weeks using the annex field in the minor league clubhouse. If you want to see some Korean baseball, you come on out. It's not games or anything. It's just practice. It's their spring training. But, we've got a lot of that different stuff going on, just trying to keep up with storm this week. We've had a lot of all the sports fields have been closed because it's 4 or 5. So we're trying to keep up with that. A lot of staff changes and a lot of stuff going on. So. Just keep it after it.
Mike, how long is the milky white problem?
They said 48 to 72.
Oh, so that's all?
Hours, yeah. I'm thinking I'm giving it a week. Then. But that's what they told me.
Okay.
It's like takes a flat, and it actually seeps down and it seals it. So I asked if we should dredge it first and remove all the junk. And they said, actually, no. All of the plant life on it will actually help give it something to stick to, and it'll add the whole thing. So we'll see. We measured the water 2 Fridays in a row. We shut the water off and measured it, and then now it's full. And then they want us to go in a month and do the same test and see and give us numbers about how much it's leaking. It was leaking about 2 inches a week, and it's a area, it's 1 1/5 acre, the surface of it, and we lost 2 inches. We can't tell exactly what that is because we're not exactly sure of the depth. We know it's not much more than 8 or 9 feet deep, but, how does that go? Does it go straight down to 9 feet? Or, so we can't tell how much we lost. We can make a good estimate. So, but that's what they're doing for us. So I'll share that when it comes back in.
And an inch of rain, so they do that.
We got like 2 or 2.5. By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's back to you.
Yeah, so starting tomorrow is the first of, I believe it's 8 town halls that we're going to be holding regarding fees for public input. I'll send the calendar to Diana to send out to you all. Tomorrow is a virtual, then we're doing an in-person in each ward, and then a final virtual. That's what will comprise that. These are the fees that I had brought to you. I believe it was November we had discussed them. So some of the newer fees, which would allow us to engage collegiate swim training, allow us to facilitate local swim teams to utilize our pools, commercial use of parks for recreation activities like boot camp, boat yoga. We are adjusting the Ramada fees, just right-sizing them. So if you do hear of anybody that's talking about us increasing fees, please encourage them to come to one. It's really interesting. So we're doing this in partnership with Park Tucson. And PDFD. And so we're hopping around the city, but we're also doing different times of day. So there are some that'll be midday and some that are evening. So that we're trying to make sure that we really are lending ourselves to all audiences to be able to participate. Once those town halls are done, we'll go back to Mayor and Council on April 9th for the public hearings, which will determine if we're moving forward with any or all. So I just wanted to give you a brief update on that. Something else that we are doing right now, and I think it's important that you all are aware. So first of all, good news, we recently had 4 staff that passed the certified playground safety inspector course and are certified. So now we're up to 6 internal staff that have that certification. Plus, I realized today that one of the staff that works for risk management is also certified. And this is all really important because, you know, kids love playgrounds, right? We want to make sure they're super safe. But it allows us to be very responsive when we get a complaint about a playground. But we've gone the extra mile and we have hired a company to go out to every single playground feature that is in a park currently and give us a rating and an inspection with photo documentation. This, of course, comes with a little bit of a risk. So we already have one playground for sure that needs to be taken out. It's not in the bond, so we're going to be working on how would we fund a replacement. And we have a second one that's in pretty bad shape that right now we're trying to find out if repair parts or replacement parts are still available. So the reason I bring it up for your awareness is in case you hear from someone that is complaining about a playground that we may have closed for repairs, this is why. Because now we're doing a much more prescribed inspection, documentation, assessment, and addressing problem process than prior years. So it's really, at the end of the day, a necessary thing to do because, you know, playgrounds, that's a bread and butter. Gotta make sure they're in good shape. So if you drove up here today, you'll see we've got a solar array that has been moved and is in the process of being finished. There's actually another one right behind our building. Those two are coming from the one that used to be in the zoo parking lot. And all of this is part of the readiness for Pathway to Asia. Pathway to Asia is anticipated to commence this spring. I don't want to say next month because they're still in negotiation with the construction company. But Nancy is hoping that within the next 30 to 60 days that they have a construction date. So leading up to that, in December, we opened the very brand new parking lot that is behind our building here. We have new signage ordered. We just confirmed it on Friday. That's going to be much better at directing people to go to the new parking lot. We've had some growing pains. But in the end, and you know, it's interesting. I walked into the conversation about Pathway to Asia And now we're actually about to commence the building pathway to HO, which is really exciting, I think, because there's going to be such cool animals that kids are going to have the opportunity to see. And it's a really a great investment and an asset that a lot of people do enjoy. So just wanted you to be aware of those two things related to the zoo. Oh, yes. Sorry. So we got a brand new baby zebra who still is not named, a female zebra. And then we have our very first giraffe, male giraffe, and they kept that under wraps because Penny is a first-time mom. And with first-time moms, the animals are always really conservative about promoting. So he also does not have a name yet, nor is he on display yet. The new bull for the zebra is on display already. Super cute. Lots of videos of her doing zoomies and stuff. So I can't wait to see the giraffe. Even I have not seen the baby giraffe yet. And I can't wait. And we're still on baby watch because the elephant, Nandi and Penzi's mom is pregnant and due any day now too. So it's a big baby boom at the zoo, and there may be some others coming, but but it's pretty cool. It's really, really cool. And some of the animals that they have there have recently gotten breeding recommendations. So I think this is going to be a super exciting year just in general for them.
Yeah. The baby shower.
The baby shower? Do you bring a giraffe elephant for a baby shower? I need lots of eucalyptus leaves and carrots and probably.
The zoo does such a great report.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Their numbers for this winter have been very impressive. Yeah. Very impressive.
They obviously have added some excitement and reasons to come in, but yeah, their numbers have been really well. Post-COVID too, they've noticed that their numbers have sustained. And now that there's less challenges with those that they get a lot of Sonoran visitors as well, and those numbers have returned to pre-COVID numbers, so they're very excited. And World of Play, that playground is like a playground on steroids. I'd like to go and be like, oh, that's what a playground that I'll never be able to afford to put in the park looks like. So let's all enjoy it.
Yeah, and where'd you be?
No, you're not, though. They encourage adults to get up there. That's why it's sized the way it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go up the Sequoia tree, go through the penguin, Arctic experience. Yeah, they really want it to be very family friendly, so it's adult friendly.
Excellent.
Anybody have any questions or comments? Mark? I just have two things that I mentioned. One, the fees. The fees that we saw back in November, those haven't changed at all.
No, they're exactly the same. Okay. Nothing has changed.
And the second thing is it possible for you to send us information about the playground closures so if somebody asks us, we can say, sure. Oh, yeah, that's already on the list to be refurbished or whatever. Will we figure out how to do that?
Yeah, at the moment, we only have the one, which is at Flag Park. And that is a unique property because it's actually owned by the Asian Church. So we're working with Ward 3 because the lease is up for renewal. So we're going to be working with them on the future of that. That's the only documented and confirmed one that I have right now. The other one, Highland Vista Park, we're still in the process of figuring out if there's replacement parts available. When playgrounds are older, sometimes the manufacturer still has components that work, and we try to be really good about extending the life cycle of our playgrounds as long as it's safe. So we're just in that space of trying to confirm whether this particular one will be falling in that bucket or if we'll be working with the ward office on it.
Chickens with you.
Huh? Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. We just got one this week, which is Jacob's Ochoa. which is definitely, we had to take it out. It had very little play features left on it, and the one play feature that was left was unsafe.
Pleased with the Jacobs project. So that's the schedule.
Well, anyway, if you just send that.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll have it. Right. I appreciate it. Anybody else before we move on?
Yeah, there's yellow tape around the playground at Junior Park. They take that off. No, the slide is burned. They never fixed the burned slide.
Oh, then it might be on order.
Yeah. As the we
Manlock at Junior Park? Yeah, but I saw yellow tape around it. Oh, the whole thing.
Okay, we'll look into that. I think I remember that talking about that getting burnt. And generally, believe it or not, sometimes it just takes 6-8 weeks to get the slides in if we have to replace them. Esteban Park has had their playground shut down for over a year now, but that's based on working with the warrant office on what they really want the future of that space to be. And until they make a decision, we can't order the replacement.
Sorry, my mind was full. Because when you were talking about Perfect Sacred Heart, the Amphi, I remember that was back to basics funds, right? And what is closed?
The playground itself is not accessible. The rest of the park is accessible, the basketball courts, the swings, the fields, but the playground itself is going to be removed. To be determined through some conversations with the church and the warrant office that are currently scheduled.
Okay. Anything else? Then item number 9, committee agenda items and next meeting. Obviously, the next meeting is listed here as February the 28th here in this room and on Microsoft Teams. How about future agenda items that you'd like to have put on there? Anybody? Not hearing any response. Manon, did you have something you wanted to put on?
Yeah, I just was curious how much it would cost to get. I saw the signs in Reed Park around not feeding ducks, and they're great. And you guys did a good job with placement, giving the difficulties with vandalism. But it's a very different kind of park than Fort Lowell, and we have a lot of different kind of language. And I did wonder. So far, I've actually seen a decrease in when I'm walking around to people feeding ducks bread. Except when it sends Spanish-speaking communities where they clearly don't speak a lot of English. So I just wondered how much it would cost to maybe get something similar in Spanish in a couple of places within that park. If we could look into that.
Sure. Sierra, I don't know, did we order bilingual? Sierra's on the call, so.
No, we didn't.
Okay. Yeah, we can look into getting them translated.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I mean, I know it's tricky to translate and have it come off as nicely.
We opted for graphics, I believe, instead, but I can certainly get a cost for that.
I think the value of telling people what you can feed them is really great. Like the frozen peach thing is, you know, that's something that's very cheap that people can get. You know, the value of that information is really helpful. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anybody else have anything they would like to add to the agenda for February the 28th? Seeing and hearing none, unless somebody has something else, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Becky. Is there a second? Oh, good. We have a second. All those in favor, raise your hand. All right. Nice to see you all. Thank you. And
thanks,
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year. 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 Happy New Year.